Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Will be in control of AEW come the end of May. Maybe we need to settle this with a bet. Maybe we need to go double or nothing.
It's quite nice, actually.
That is, considering you'll tell people I did not know the title of the video until 4 seconds ago.
It's genuinely true. What we instead talked about basically was X-Men 97.
And Eurovision.
And then you turned to me just before, like, with 2 seconds left on the timer. I was like, what are we talking about today on the Dynamite Show?
I knew what we were talking about, but I didn't know the specific title of the video. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen, DAD. We are reviewing AEW Dynamite. If you haven't already, please press the thumbs up button. Give us a subscribe. Leave a comment down below with what you thought of this episode and send in your Omega chats, because he's back in town.
Well, yeah, in the hospital. If the town is a hospital, he has come back to it.
He's back in kayfabe town. And we'll read out every single one of them over $5 by the end of the show. The end of the show that will end exactly on the hour. No overruns here. Oh. Unlike this episode.
So are you trying to say that we will go to 4 o'clock and there'll be no overrun?
It cuts out. It's like a WCW pay-per-view from the late 90s.
That they didn't tell the pay-per-view providers, hey, we're going half an hour extra on this one, guys.
So we've had quite a few overruns in the last couple of months. It's a sort of analytical ploy to artificially inflate the ratings for your overall episode. Is it because people just tune in at the top of the hour to see what's going to start?
It's kind of a bit of an old school way of thinking, which is that viewers are ready to watch their next show at 10 p.m. So go to their TV and turn on TBS at 10 p.m. to watch their next show. And what they instead get is 8 minutes extra of the show that's just finishing. And then they get the show they've actually tuned in for.
But you still get those patterns within wrestling shows themselves. That's why they schedule important points or big stars
at
the top of the hour to catch those people just flicking around after a previous show had finished.
Yeah, it's an old school way of thinking, but it has already shown to work for AEW. When they did the Tony Khan angle, they did that in an overrun, and it was one of the higher rated segments that they had on the show.
And AEW really need those, right? Like, they really need to battle for every single number, because it's the year, the most important year in their existence. They need this new TV deal. They need it to be a good one. And the best way to do that is to say, look at all these good ratings we've just done.
Exactly. And it shows that they are in a good relationship with Warner Brothers Discovery, that they can ask for nearly 10 minutes extra of TV time, and they're always getting it.
Yeah, because this show was main evented by Copeland versus Brody King. Great match. We'll talk about it later. And then I kind of forgot there was stuff still to come. So I was like, okay, right. Why are we finishing on this interview with Mercedes Moné? I get she's a big deal, but this is a weird thing, backstage random interview. And then, oh, okay, well, now we're talking to Copeland and Kyle O'Reilly. What? Huh? The Bucks are coming. So the Elite come out. Okada has a message for Kenny Omega. Get well soon from Okada. Mm-hmm. Matthew Jackson says right into the camera lens, that Tony Khan's the best boss he's ever had.
Very nice.
Of course, that's a CM Punk line from... Well, did he say the best boss he's ever had? Or did he just say, you're a nice guy?
He said that he's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it is a CM Punk line.
Hmm. He definitely did say he was a great boss. So I feel like it was an allusion to that. Mm. The idea being, oh, you're a great boss, Tony, but we also had to make you fear for your life. That sort of dynamic.
Yeah.
But the idea of it was to say that,
and again, this is kind of like where the sort of the genius of this Bucks characters is they have set the seeds for these two angles when they debuted these new characters, renaming the move to the TK driver, which they then gave to Tony Khan, and renaming it to the EVP trigger, which they gave to Kenny Omega. So they were able to give TK the TK driver and the other EVP, the EVP trigger. So they've been planting these seeds like from the very get-go.
If they rename it back to its original name, if I'm Dave Meltzer, I'm sweating. No five-star match, what?
Yeah.
So this brought out FTR. Earlier in the show, we had had Kenny Omega from the ER room after last week's attacks saying, hey, I am an EVP still, so I'm going to make this match for Double or Nothing where it all began all those years ago. It's going to be the elite of the Bucks, Okada, Jack Perry versus FTR and two mystery guys.
Which he calls Team AEW. Mm.
And I thought, okay, well, we'll get that reveal next week.
He did say they will reveal themselves at the end of the show.
Did I just like blank out for parts of this?
But he did say they'll reveal themselves when the end by the show end.
You know what it was?
What's that?
I didn't wash yesterday.
Didn't wash your ears out, maybe.
Didn't wash yesterday because I went out to dinner. Mm-hmm. And this morning I was like, I should wash. It's crap. I've got to watch this whole thing and I've got to write a review. I'm like, but I'm thinking I should wash.
I've got to wash though.
I should wash before I go out into public and see people.
Yeah.
And I did. I never wash in the morning. I'm a night washer.
You're not a morning washer.
I'm not a morning washer. I have like usually a bath or a shower before bed.
You do because you like to have a bath and your partner tell you nice things because it just soothes you.
Yeah, it's nice. So I think I was probably, that's my excuse why I didn't pick up on quite repeated bits that things will happen at the end of the show. So who's it going to be? FTR brought out Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston comes out, huge pop from a much louder crowd than last week.
Right? Like this was one of the bigger pops of the evening was for Eddie Kingston.
And it's great because we love Eddie Kingston. He is so sparingly used in things like he won the C2 tournament and he's been an afterthought this year, I'd say. But there's the history with Okada and the Elite there from when he lost his Continental Championship and the other championships.
He's still Ring of Honor. No, he lost the Ring of Honor title to Mark Briscoe.
Mark Briscoe, yeah.
Is he still New Japan Strong Champion?
Jay White seemed to have another belt.
No, but that's he's got the AEW six-man titles, the Sesame versions of the AEW six-man titles and the Ring of Honor six-man titles.
So Kingston comes out. I'm already happy because not only is he back, big storyline spot.
And I was expecting Daniel Garcia. Mm. I thought that would be one of the names that was brought in. I thought that made almost storyline sense because he's been aligned with FTR. So I was like, oh, man, what a way to elevate Garcia into the sort of main event picture. So when Kingston came out, I was like, oh, great. Yeah, this is really good. So it kind of set my expectations. Like, well, it can't be Danny Garcia now. Who's it going to be?
Also, the idea, it's an Anarchy in the Arena match. So Kingston in that match, we've all got fond memories of him trying to set people on fire.
Well, trying to set one person in particular on fire. And it's that one person that he's going to be teaming with. Because then they all stood there. Like, Kingston is raring to go. And Cash and Dax are like, come on. Like, just wait. There's one more of us left. And Bryan Danielson makes his return to AEW since the Will Ospreay match at Dynasty. And he stands out there. Great reaction for him as well. The four of them stand there. And they storm down to the ring as Team AEW to take on the Elite.
It feels like he's been gone longer. Like, what is that? 2-3 weeks?
3 weeks, basically.
Yeah. It was like, remember when... It was some point in the 2000s. Kane was gone for like 2 weeks.
You're talking about the one when he comes out to save Cactus Jack the Rock and Too Cool. It's literally about a fortnight he's gone. I was like, it's one of the greatest returns I've ever seen.
So Danielson comes back here. And yeah, just like, I didn't know I wanted this so much. And I had when I saw the card for this episode, I thought, oh God, Dynamite's lacking a bit on star power this week. But by the end, with this big hot angle, Danielson's back, he's representing Team AEW, doesn't feel like he's lost anything from losing the Ospreay match. This was a hell of a way to sell the pay-per-view.
Yeah, really, really good. I love the idea of Kingston and Danielson tagging together. Danielson's issues he's got with the Elite, Kingston's issues he's got with the Elite, obviously FTR. I think it's going to be really, really great. And it's actually, the Kingston and Danielson addition into this has made, and I was really excited because I want to see this new version of the Elite because I've been loving this Elite. Also, Kazuchika Okada is going to be in a mad hardcore match. What a weird world we're in. What a weird timeline we found ourselves in.
Yeah, the week after the Shibata's first ever hardcore match last week.
Okada is going to be in an Anarchy in the Arena match.
Yeah.
That's nuts. What if he bleeds?
Suck it back in. I'll just do some... I want Okada for that whole match. Everyone, weapons, blood, fire. Okada is just doing wrestling moves. Be interesting also, this is going to be Jack Perry's in-ring return.
It will be. It's his first match in AEW since All In.
Since losing the FTW championship. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm stoked for this. I think this is going to be a really, really good match. And it kind of like, you're kind of looking at Double or Nothing stacking up. It's quite a good card. And I think he actually needed this. You talked about this last week, the idea of while I think that in ring, Swerve and Christian's going to be very, very good. And it's full of like great characters and stuff. It does not feel like that is an AEW world title picture. Same with Serena Deeb and Toni Storm. Going to be a very good match, but it doesn't feel like Serena Deeb is at the same level that Toni Storm is at. And I was kind of exposed a little bit on this episode, in all honesty. So I think it needed this match to be announced. I even think like Ospreay going for the international championship. Like, it's great that Will's going for a belt and he's going into this match. Not that we've gone into a match with AEW, you could throw a stone, you'll probably be in a title match. So there's some like really good stuff there, but then Ospreay hasn't been on TV for 2 weeks and we actually haven't had any build for that international championship match.
Well, he's afraid of the grind.
So my point was going to be that announcing this match, while there's a lot of things I'm already excited for on Double or Nothing for in-ring wise, nothing has really lit a fire underneath me to make me really desperate to see the show. I feel like this match has made me like, I can't wait for this now.
When we predicted Dynasty, we were genuinely a bit like, I mean, a lot of these matches I could see going either way.
Yeah.
And I'll be fine with either direction. But yeah, the card before this episode, quite predictable. Swerve's not losing to Christian. Toni Storm's not losing to Deeb. Ospreay's more than likely winning against Strong. And if not, it's going to be a schmoz to further that sort of faction feud. But you put this in. And I mean, I'm pretty confident that the Elite will win. And I hope that they put the control of AEW on the line, like Kenny Omega and Tony Khan say, well, the winner of this match gets full run of AEW. Because even though the Elite are doing they're really just head producers right now.
Yeah, they're running Gorilla at the moment.
Whereas we saw on this, Kenny made this pay-per-view main event match. Tony Khan said to Rocky Romero, hey, if you win that match, you get a trios title shot down the line.
Copeland said that he spoke with Tony Khan and he booked it to be a no DQ match against Brody King. So you've kind of got, like, well, you've got it. And like the Elites, they revealed that it was the Bucks that set up Mogul Embassy to turn on Swerve Strickland because that's, you know, they're going to be going into an Elite versus Swerve feud after this. So, you know, they've been setting up various different pieces. What you've got, essentially got is four characters who are authority figures, but this side over here and the Bucks are making matches for the heels, and these guys over here are making matches for the baby faces.
Yeah, which is, I thought that's where we were when they took out Tony Khan, and then Tony Khan is just a neck brace and he's still smiling and happy, but which is fine because
just from Jacksonville.
I hadn't thought about the idea of building using that to then build this Anarchy in the Arena match. I just hope they do make it a AEW controls on the line, because I think that will set up a really clear, exciting story of, oh my God, the Elite are the heel mega overlords.
Yeah.
And then you get, we'll talk about Swerve later, but that's surely Swerve's next thing is a collision course with the Elite.
You know, possibly Hangman Page, you know, as if they're going to be softening him up for that. I kind of agree and disagree, I think, because I don't think you need to have the control of AEW story on there, because one of the things that people have always said about heel authority figures is like, well, why are babyfaces getting the opportunities if you're the heel and you only prefer heels? Or like with babyface authority figures, it's like, well, why are heels getting opportunities? I suppose the argument would be,
People bounce off the ropes?
Well, that's it. So I don't mind that you've got Tony and Kenny that are booking matches for baby faces and sort of giving them stipulations, and their heels over here aligning themselves with heels or doing favors for heels. Like, I don't mind that dynamic. I don't think it's too many authority figures.
Also, whatever WWE are doing, just try and do the opposite. Just try it out. And WWE have generally baby face authority figures right now.
Yeah.
Paul Levesque's the nicest guy. So try out the heel angle.
He says sorry via cheese.
So yeah, really exciting stuff.
Then they'll do a cheese joke on an upcoming Dynamite.
Oh, I hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Bucks should start sending cheese boards to Swerve.
Honestly, if I'm the Bucks, I'm sending a cheese board to Sean. Regardless of anything, I'm just sending one to Sean as well, just to be like, we also thank you.
Yeah. Do you think this is the main event of Double or Nothing?
Well, they did say on commentary that Swerve versus Christian is the main event. But they also sort of said that about the Four Pillars four-way when Max was champion, and that ended up not being the main event. So yeah, I could see Anarchy in the Arena being the actual main event. I also think that's a good way to end off the show, because it is going to be Anarchy. Remember last year's one was like bonkers and insane. And despite the fact that Fatal 4-Way was excellent, and it was so great, I'm so glad that it went on before Anarchy in the Arena, because that match was so bonkers that it probably would have overshadowed the greatness of that Fatal 4-Way.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's see what you all think on the Omega Chats, wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5. Matt Hennessy says, I like the Elite Takeover storyline. My one issue with it is that in kayfabe, they took out Tony Khan and he is still somehow booking matches. It should just be Kenny and the Bucks booking matches in kayfabe and undermines the heel Elite if 2 weeks after killing Tony.
But in that fairness, they also killed Kenny. So like, I think by your own argument, it should just be the Bucks that are making things. And they did say they didn't, they have always said from day one, like from doing this, was that, and Tony Khan said it on last week's show, I'm still running the show. I just can't fly out to the shows.
Yeah. I think it is a bit messy. I would just have had Tony Khan dead, although you don't get the fun draft spots. Kenny, I don't mind so much because he is in a like a hospital room and he definitely sold it more than Tony Khan.
He's
Kenny, on a drip.
Kenny also sold the right part of his body when he got hit.
Oh, ow.
Sorry,
Matt Hennessy continues. By doing this, it makes them look like less of a threat. If 2 weeks later, the non-wrestler who they beat up is booking things, we should not see or hear from Tony Khan for a year. Have the Bucks do media scrums in Tony Khan's place in character. That is a great idea.
It is a great idea. It would get old quickly, but it is a very good idea.
Also, very cool that Sean got his apology from Triple H and WWE. Well, he's a nice guy. As well as some good-looking cheese. It's easy to be cynical, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to being sincere.
Matt, that is some benefit right there.
Glad that got resolved. It's beautiful to give people the benefit of the doubt.
It is.
But remember, there's 30 years of prior behavior here.
Look, I've said this to quite a few people in the last recent weeks. There will always be WWE. They're very nice at the moment, and they're on a real hot streak. But they will always be WWE.
And Paul Levesque is... Watch The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
the greatest thing the devil ever did was convince the world he didn't exist.
Yeah.
He is in the sheepiest of clothing right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's an absolute killer fox. Absolute fox. Daddy trips.
It's the little glasses that does it for you, isn't it?
Spectre says, I'm loving the Elite Civil War, but it sounds like it's moving too quickly. I hope Anarchy in the Arena isn't the end of it. This should be a year-plus storyline. Also, didn't get a chance to say it before, but Swerve versus Christian is a match I didn't know I wanted.
Oh, yeah.
For TV. That's my adding... That was my very... what's the word?
I think it's nice to elevate people up the card.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Christian's done great work with that TNT Championship, so I think you should reward that.
Yeah. I was being glib just then. That wasn't what Spectre said. But the moving too quickly, I don't... It does feel like it's moving quickly. I don't think it's moving too quickly. And it's a killer match for 2 weeks away that's really exciting. And I do think this will be a year-plus story all in all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I would just do a few more general ones. Ben Vlerick says, Orange just took three pile drivers in the ring, one on the steel steps and a slingshot into the steel beam underneath the ring, only to afterwards still be standing and just have an owie neck. Like, we cool with that? Unreasonable to ask for more selling?
That I would agree with.
Yeah. Chris Wagstaff, loving the Orange Don story. I'm hoping it ends with OC turning Don down, then Roppongi Vice joining the family. Also intrigued by Tony being there for Mariah a lot as of late. Especially last week, yet Mariah didn't even check up on Tony last night.
Well, yeah. Part of that love triangle that she's found herself in. There's a Channel 4 show that's basically around that, isn't there?
I haven't watched it. The love triangle.
It's when my wife was watching it yesterday, and I was like, this seems like the sort of show that Ollie would be really into.
I'm going to watch it via Gogglebox rather than get into it. But MILF Manor 2. Yes, please.
Did you watch MILF? I'm sorry, not my mic there. Did you watch MILF Manor 1?
You familiar with the concept?
I remember the trailer for it coming out, and they hadn't quite revealed what it is, but everyone picked up what they were putting down, that the reveal is going to be, it's all their sons.
Yeah. So just to clarify, the mums don't get together with their own sons.
Although that is a bit of a, you know, that's, it's a trend online.
I don't know where that's come from in the last few years.
It's really snuck up on people.
The pandemic was a weird time, and there's some lingering effects, I think. But MILF Manor, you would date other people's sons of the other MILFs you're with. Series 2 is you got the MILFs, and then all these very handsome, athletic young men come in, and they do a day of like sexy challenges, and they're all getting on really well. But some more people just arrived. It's the boys' dads. And they're all smoking hot. Now the father competes against son for a MILF.
Do you not think that the creators of American Pie should be like, just getting some kickback on this.
Yeah, they should have trademarked it.
Like, you know, they're the reason why we have these phrases.
Yeah. Like Vortex.
I'm saying, I think you can make a counterclaim on it.
I never did it for the Jericho Vortex, to be fair. Right, this episode of AEW had a cold open, or a cope open.
The cope open.
It was a cold open. On.
Oh, I see. I think you were just talking about the cope open.
With Copeland arriving backstage, he said he's sort of feeling the dark side, and that's when he said that Khan has made his match against Brody King an ODQ match.
Mm-hmm.
Still got the Elite opening credits, which I enjoy.
It's nice.
And then we get a shot of the crowd, and apparently there's some quite raucous fans in the crowd.
I heard the story about Sky Blue. Yeah.
Some prick was shouting a lot of stuff at Sky Blue, and it sounds like he got ejected.
Yeah, apparently Aubrey was like proper kicked off afterwards, and security got him out of there, which is the right thing to do.
But this was, I'm pretty sure this wasn't that person, but there was like right on the opening thing, a guy with the girl he was with sort of...
Yeah.
Not a booby flash, but it was a bra flash.
Yeah, I think she had did she flash her bra first and then he was like, do it more?
I think because I watched it because I was like, this is funny, I'm going to get a screen grab. I think he went to do it because I reckon they pre-planned it.
Yeah.
He went to do it when he realized the camera was on them, but he didn't fully get it. It just looked like he flapped her shirt. And then she realized that wasn't enough, so she did it.
Oh, it was the other way around. Yes. Yeah.
Attitude Era.
It's the Attitude Era. It's also it's Canada, which I always thought was this, very just full of nice people. That's, the sort of the ruling that I've been given. It's like, it's full of nice people and people you blame for things. Mm-hmm. And you just don't expect this sort of Attitude Era-esque behavior mm-hmm. from this place. Tempest, while watching the show, said a lot of Oilers jerseys. Like he was the Oilers jerseys were everywhere. Mm. And he thinks that's why the crowd last week was a little bit dead, because their home team had just lost, but the Oilers are still within the Stanley Cup or, something of touchdowns and whatnot. And I wonder if some of there's a lot of Oilers jerseys around. I wonder if some of it was a response to the fear that there were a lot of Oilers fans that were going to leave during the show, mm-hmm. that they all wore their t-shirts and jerseys to show, no, we're still coming to Dynamite.
I read as soon as the overrun was done,
like
2/3 of the arena emptied.
It's exactly what Meltzer said was probably going to happen, was that the place will empty once the show's finished.
Mm. Of course, I imagine they still taped Rampage or Ring of Honor.
They taped Ring of Honor afterwards, yeah.
The opening match, though, was Orange Cassidy versus Trent, which has been a pretty well-told story, one of the main mid-card feuds on Dynamite over the last month. And they had a really fun match.
Yeah.
Brawled through the crowd. Crowd sounded loud and hot. Taz is off. I can't remember what he's recovering from.
I think it's something about his knees, maybe. But he was off TV.
So Don Callis was on commentary for a lot of the night, which worked really well here because he's been teasing he might take either Cassidy or Trent under his wing. Trent hit two pile drivers and a running knee. I probably had it won, you could argue.
Well, yeah, the story they were telling this match is that neither man was going for a pin at any point in the match. Even when Trent had the match won, this was not about winning. This was about inflicting punishment upon your opponents.
So Trent's exposing the turnbuckle.
Yeah, the only pinfall attempt in the match was the one that ended the match.
And you could argue that that was Cassidy being like, he's got me physically beat. I need to get a wrestling win.
Yeah, I need to end this now.
Mm-hmm. But Trent carried on beating him up afterwards. Pile driver on the steel steps. That sort of monkey flip into the metal bit under the apron, mm-hmm. which looks really great. And it looks like he's going to do some more. He's got a toolbox, and Cast is stumbling to his feet outside with a chair. But Don Callis and Chris Statlander stop it from happening.
Yeah, so Don Callis sort of guides Cassidy to the back while Statlander tries to calm Trent down.
Where do you think this is going?
I honestly don't know. And I'm kind of glad about that in a way. Like, I don't really know. I don't think they're going to turn Cassidy heel. But I'm like, but where does this lead to? And I'm just interested to find out.
Later on, Rocky Romero went to see Cassidy backstage, who was being tended to after the attack. And Rocky kind of came off a bit heelish to me.
Well, yeah, because it's weird, because last week Rocky was talking about how he's going to go out there and do things on his own.
Yeah.
And then this week was like, hey, why don't we just get back? We'll just wrestle with Chuck or with Trent again, with Chuck again. And Cassidy's like, what are you talking about? Like, we just said last week, Chuck can't wrestle anymore. He's like, oh, you'll do it with Ishii. Like, maybe we can get Shibata involved.
I think it tracks, because last week Romero also said, I'm going to win gold. That's what I'm going to do. And he had a singles match against Kyle O'Reilly on Rampage. He lost it. So now he's like, okay, well, maybe I'll try
these belts.
These belts. And, you know, Trent and Rocky, Roppongi 3K.
Yep.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I think there's some good stuff with Rocky.
This is when we got the Elite arriving. There was a camera in the car with them and they parked in Tony Khan's space. Jungle Boy had a promo that he cut last week on Omega backstage.
Great promo.
Yeah, it was decent. Then we got Kenny setting up the match from his ER bed. And then we got Serena Deeb on the top of the ramp cutting a promo to Tony Schiavone. And she explained where she's been a lot of the last year. And said that she had unexplained seizures. Pretty serious stuff.
Very serious stuff.
The delivery just wasn't there, though.
Yeah, this felt overly scripted.
And just quite wooden and everything. I think they need to... Deeb is so good when she's just walking to the ring or she's having matches. I think they need to give her a manager or they just need to make her the silent professor ass kicker.
Yeah, character. That was where she was quite strong, yeah. You know, during her last run. I agree, because I don't think this quite worked. The argument's always like when you script out promos. There are some wrestlers that benefit from it. Kurt Angle is like the great example of every promo that Kurt Angle ever did was scripted, and he learned it word for word, but he also made it sound not scripted. So there are some wrestlers that do need scripting because they're not that confident to go out there and just cut a promo. But also you need to be able to do it without sounding like you're a wooden puppet. And unfortunately, I think Deeb, because they're just talking about very real things, didn't sound like it was a real problem. It just sounded like it was scripted work, scripted verbiage for a wrestling promo.
Yeah, here's a fictional thing to build this match as opposed to here's an authentic promo that I'm actually saying something truthful. And then also, like, she's presenting us. It was a full-on babyface promo. And you never quite know what dynamic Toni Storm and her opponents are, because it's generally a heel thing.
Yeah.
And then here's Deonna Purrazzo, here's Thunder Rosa, but the crowd are cheering for Toni. And
we've been saying this for weeks and weeks and weeks now. It is the exact problem they had with Britt Baker when she was champion, and they were like, her and... oh man, what was her name? What was her the partner in crime's name? Obviously, there was Jamie Hayter, but that was
Reba.
So it was Reba. Like Britt, Reba, and Jamie were a heel trio who kept cheating to win, but they were over as a babyface act. So everyone they just put Britt up against was getting booed, and she was getting cheered. The exact same thing is happening with Toni Storm, and it's just I think sometimes you just want to pull the trigger on these things and just go with them as being like, go with what the crowd is telling you. Because Toni Storm comes out, Toni, Toni, Toni. So then when like Serena Deeb is the one that slaps her and stands tall, the crowd are chanting for Toni. So it just doesn't kind of work. And I know you can't book everything for just one crowd, but this is happening a lot. And it's happened a lot in other Toni Storm feuds. So I don't think you can say this was just one Edmonton audience.
Definitely. Yeah, it seems very rare that people come out of Toni Storm feuds looking better.
Yeah.
It's like wrestling The Fiend. It's like it just doesn't work because The Fiend is this character that... Is it a face? Is it a heel? I don't know.
Yeah.
And it destroys credibility of the opponents, really.
Yeah.
Lexi is... Oh, this is the Rocky Romero bit backstage. That's with Cassidy. Then we got Mariah May versus Harley Cameron. So Toni Storm is knocked out at the end of that previous segment. So that explains why she's not out here for Mariah May's match. But Saraya is. So Mariah May here is working as a out-and-out babyface.
Yeah, which plays in quite nicely with her Mina Shirakawa. The Mina Shirakawa element of the storyline where she is a babyface and Toni Storm is a heel. And Mariah May is a heel that's sort of caught in the middle of all of this.
But last week, May was a heel against face deep.
Mm-hmm. But Tony Storm was there.
But Tony Storm babyface saved May last week. Or was that the week before?
The week before?
I'm just like, it's not just that they're like, here's Tony Storm and Mariah May. They are a heel act when they should be faces. It's like, sometimes they're booked as faces.
Yeah.
I'm a bit confused by it all. It's not worked. It's never fully worked for me, but I can get that it works for other people. But I think now there is something's off kilter with the storytelling.
Yeah, I agree.
But Mariah May was really good here, I thought, particularly against Harley Cameron, who's, by cage match, only had about 25 matches ever.
Yeah, I think, is this her first AEW match ever?
Well, I looked at this. She's had a couple of matches on Dark, but right. She hasn't had one since last year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I actually thought...
I thought Cameron looked good too.
Really good, actually, yeah.
Saraya's interfering on the outside, but Mariah May got the win, and then the heels beat her up, and Mira Shirakawa came down to make the save.
I particularly enjoyed that Saraya and Harley Cameron, by the way, you came out to like Outkast music and like the Outkast titantron and stuff. I was like, what a throwback. What a weird throwback to a time that we've all forgotten happened with the Outkasts. Tony Storm was part of that faction.
Ruby Soho's pregnant now.
And a baby face, no less. But so, like, Saraya and Cameron are beating her down. The camera just cuts to the entrance ramp because, like, the production team were like, someone's coming out to save her. But Shirakawa didn't come out at that point, so they just cut back. And then Shirakawa made her entrance.
Yeah. Not the best night for production TV cutting.
On AEW? No.
Well, I'm used to sound issues, not vision issues. So Shirakawa, I think they're building some form of tag team matches. That's quite nice because... Mariah May and Shirakawa versus the Outcasts. And really, it should be Tony Storm in that spot, particularly against Saraya.
But you can get to that point. Kind of doing a hot shot. This, particularly as you are doing a love triangle storyline, then you should be sort of playing with these elements in individual stories before you kind of combine them all together.
Yeah, I wasn't saying do it now. I'm saying this is a good array of people. They just need to be clear on which side's the baby face and heel.
I think I know. I think that it's...
This week.
Tony is on the heel side. Shirakawa's on the babyface side. And Mariah May's caught in the middle. She is a heel when she's with Tony. She's a babyface when she's with Shirakawa. And Shirakawa is only doing the saves when Tony Storm is not there.
Okay, well, let's see how it... That does make sense. A lot more sense.
Thank you.
Pax backstage.
That's what I'm here for.
Pax backstage being interviewed by the new person. Don't know her name.
Yeah, I didn't catch the name.
And Pac... I was like, what's different about Pac? Is he okay? And then I just saw someone leave a comment by like, he's not wet.
He's dry.
He's dry Pac. Because he doesn't have all the oil and the wet hair and stuff.
And like the humidity's getting to him. His head getting all like frizzle frazzled. So we're getting frizzle fry.
So he's talking about how he's got no hope and the Bang Bang Gang interrupt him. And that set up a spot later on.
Mm-hmm.
Malakai Black had a really good promo on Edge. Sort of pre-filmed in the spooky House of Black style. This is what I want House of Black to always be.
Yeah.
And Malakai was saying that he believes Copeland is inherently evil based on his past, but he became a father. He got a kid. He's got a wife. And he's going to push him to the brink of death to reveal the true Adam Copeland.
I like it.
Really good.
Sets up a nice little pay-per-view match for them.
We got an Elite video package putting over the Elite.
Yeah.
Which is produced by the Elite. And then the Bucks are at gorilla position and they're sort of saying, good luck, Swerve.
Yeah, they were very much setting up that. Because they said that, like, that was a great video. We should have more of this on TV and less of Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
And then, was kind of setting themselves up to be like, go out there, Swerve, cut a good promo. That's our world champion right there.
So Swerve comes down. He cuts a promo on Christian. He's very angry after last week's beatdown. Calls the patriarchy the Adams family, which is a perfect line.
They are quite Adams family-esque in a way, aren't they?
Yeah, and when they came down afterwards and they're all like standing, I was like, they are so Adams family.
Isn't Christopher Lloyd's going to be in the new season of Wednesday?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's cool.
Which is a nice little touch.
Christian then comes down with the patriarchy and he gets some local sports team heat.
He does say some sports.
Because Oilers.
Sports.
Go Oilers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dan's got a team. I forgot. Mm-hmm. You don't. Have you got a team for hockey?
Packers. Minnesota Packers. And the honestly, the crowd are trying to drown Christian out.
Mm-hmm.
And he stops and like, be quiet when I'm trying to conduct my business. They only get louder. Really fun stuff. And he says he's going to take Swerve's gold teeth from him too now after the dreadlock from last week.
Mm-hmm.
And Swerve said, well, just like I teased last week, I've not come alone. And the embassy enter.
Yeah.
And I start writing, oh, now they turn up. Where was Brian Cage last week? When Swerve was getting the crap kicked out of him and Brian Cage was in a match with Claudio on the same episode.
I wasn't here to review the show last week, and I was watching it while I was doing some housework. And I did think, I was just like, is he still with the Mogul Embassy? Because he's like, you know, the babyface world champion now, but is he still, did they just break that faction up but just sort of not put it on TV? Which I guess is one way to do it.
Yeah. Well, we got that loose end tied up now because the camera is on Christian and he starts to smirk and then you hear the crowd go, oh, and I'm like, well, I guess someone just turned on someone. And then the camera cut back to the wide. And I think it was Brian Cage who had attacked Swerve.
So Gates of Agony and Brian Cage attacked them. And then they put him through a table, Swerve that is, and Cage was laughing throughout this. Cage, I thought, sold this very well because Cage did not know this was coming. He did not know that the Gates of Agony and Brian Cage, which is why he sort of went backstage and sort of thanked the Bucks, and they sort of then revealed, oh, this was our plan.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like he didn't see this coming. He was just there chuckling away. Maybe I read that wrong.
Do you think they're going to do a Brian and Christian?
They've actually been in cahoots this whole time. Well, because they're related.
Yeah. Well, there's 10 years between them, so it can't be a dad thing, but it could be like maybe Brian Cage is Christian's nephew and he's kind of adopted him.
I don't think you need to put them into an Uber faction. What you don't want to do is do the corporate Ministry of Darkness.
But think of the Addams Family picture. Brian Cage.
With the Gates of Agony.
Yeah. Not the Gates of Agony so much, but I think Brian Cage. Are
you always trying to push the Gates of Agony out of storylines?
I really like the Gates of Agony, but they
let them be part of this faction.
They're like the Lucha Bros of this storyline. Like, you don't fit here a lot of the time. I want you to have your own stories, not as backup players and other people's. So this was I was ashamed they didn't then pull out the gold tooth.
Oh, because that's what Cage said that he wanted to do was...
Yeah, and he was prone and lying there, and they pulled out the dreadlock the previous week.
Yeah.
And it seems like an easy thing to gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would have been another nice way to increase the heat. So, yeah, I said my piece last week. I love Christian, love Swerve. I would not have done this for Swerve's first title defense, nor for arguably your biggest pay-per-view of the year's main event.
I feel like I use this example a lot, only because I think it is like the ultimate version of this example. But when Daniel Bryan won the WWE Championship in 2014, his first feud was Kane. Now, on paper, makes a lot of sense. Team Hell No, their shared history, that actually, storyline-wise, is a very, very smart choice. Problem is that no one saw Kane as a potential winner of the WWE Championship, which meant that their match they had at Extreme Rules was a bit nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were going to continue that feud for a couple of more months. But unfortunately, Brian got injured. But then Brian was just going to lose the belt to Lesnar at SummerSlam anyway. And so I had this with Cody Rhodes when and he's going to be facing AJ Styles. I'm like, yeah, I mean, great because of shared history, but it's not like AJ's going to win the belt, so it doesn't feel like a hot first feud. And it's the same with Damian Priest. And I was like, Jesus doesn't feel like the hot first feud. Like, that's two guys who've just won the belts facing their Kanes. I feel like this is Swerve facing his Kane. They've got shared history. Storyline-wise, it makes complete sense. It's the dickhead heel EVPs who have sided with this other dickhead heel and given him the opportunity over more deserving people. But it's his Kane.
Mm-hmm. Which, and you're not saying it's as bad as Kane in 2014. No. Like this is a much, much, much better version.
Yeah.
Just in the style.
The style of it, yeah. It's not the hot first feud that I think some world champions might need.
It's not a super credible established main eventer.
Because what this does, and they do, you know, the presentation wise, they did the countdown clock for Swerve to be like, Swerve will be on the show in 45 minutes time. He'll be on the show in half an hour's time. They did the big countdown for the top of the hour. So they are presenting him as, he is our world champion. He is top of the hour. We are putting a lot of focus on him. But by putting him in a feud with Christian, I'm sort of looking at the actual main event angle of this show, and I'm like, oh, that's the top story in this promotion at the moment.
It's exactly what happened to Hangman's title reign.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, he's the world champion, and they did present him as a world champion, but did they present him as a world champion on the caliber of your Kenny Omega, of your Chris Jericho? I'd argue they didn't.
Even with MJF. Hmm. Like, MJF was like the focal point of the show.
Yeah.
Swerve at this point is not the focal point of the show.
So I've got another bit about the Swerve thing.
Mm.
So love Swerve, have loved Swerve for a long time, particularly since we all got into him last year's Full Gear. And then on like the go home angles for him versus Joe, really, really excited. And then the match happened and I was sold on, oh, Swerve's sick and he loves violence and he's a badass and he's, you know, pretty much a heel. As well, we just cheer him. And then it was just a normal match without any of the violence they'd sort of rose my expectations to expect. And then since then, it feels like I've been getting babyface Swerve.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is Swerve, but it's not the Swerve that got him over.
That's right, yeah, it's not. And that's kind of what you have to do, because you have to babyface up someone.
Do you need to, though?
Well, no, you don't, but that's almost like the feeling of it. It's like, well, you're our babyface champion, so we just need to babyface you. Again, kind of going back to this 2014 world that you and I are currently sort of reliving in at the moment, because we're doing it for WrestleTalk Extra. I'm watching the Raws post-Shield breakup, and it is staggering how quickly they bollocks Roman Reigns after the split. Like, it is week one after they split him up. It's like, oh, you're just John Cena now. And like, they just completely ruin everything that had made him cool and made him over in the few months earlier in 2014. I do think, though, we're heading to an I Quit match, because that was part of Swerve's promo here, was being like, you know, they set up an I Quit match. So we should be able to get that level of violence again from Swerve. And the hope would be that the attack last week with ripping out the dreads and taking out Prince Nana. Nana wasn't on this show because he was selling the injuries. Take note, Tony Khan. So you've taken out Nana and you ripped out the dreadlocks. Then you had his fake friends turn on him and put him through a table that the next week, and then build up to Double or Nothing, you can get that vicious side of Swerve back.
That's what I'm hoping.
Me too.
Yeah. 2 weeks to do that. Not a great deal of time, but you can tell the story of he's just picking off people.
Mm-hmm.
Kidnapping them. Go to Nick Wayne's house again.
I really hope they actually redo an angle like that.
Christian thanked the Bucks afterwards, as we already said great idea, and he said this is the start of a fruitful relationship.
So I guess Christian did know that was my mistake.
Heels working together, it's fun.
Yeah.
A really good Willow Nightingale interview saying that she's ready for Mercedes Moné, but is Mercedes ready for her?
We'll find out at the top of the hour.
I hope so. It's been long enough. Jay White and Rocky Romero. We both feel the same about Rocky Romero.
We do.
We love him so much. He's such a good wrestler, just winning me over every time. And I felt that in this.
He hit that running sliced bread, and he got this like proper 2.999 near fall on Jay White. I was like, oh, Rocky's just going to beat Jay White here.
And it really helped that detail of, oh, if you win, you get a trios match as well.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think it was going to happen, but it was enough. So,
but Rocky makes you think that it can happen.
Exactly. Really great job from everyone. He got people into those near falls through sheer force of will. But Jay White did win with a Blade Runner, and then they beat him up afterwards. Pat comes down for the save after the dry pack interaction backstage. So we'll probably get some trios feud there.
Death Triangle.
Yeah.
Phoenix is back now. So, and they were, you know, they're talking about how, like, Jay White in his promo backstage was like, Death Triangle is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be the reuniting of Death Triangle, former trios champions, to go up against Bullet Club Gold.
And if either brother is unavailable, just get another luchador.
There's loads of them around.
That's what he does.
There's a commander right there for you.
video package with Samoa Joe.
This was awesome. This was so good. This proper reminded me of that, the Kurt Angle builds. For like the third or fourth match that they did, it's like the second highest pay-per-view buy rate that TNA ever did when they built the cage match. Like proper training Samoa Joe. This was awesome.
Mm, yeah, really good stuff.
Had this great line. What's the line he said? Because like, he's talking about how people talking about fear and stuff, and it's like warriors. And he said, like, what you're gonna find out is that I'm not a warrior that fears. I'm what these men fear in the first place. I was like, oh, this is great. I saw this and I nearly text Tempest to be like, you're gonna love the Joe promo on this week's show.
Jericho and Big Bill. The Learning Tree then came out to face some local enhancement talent, Mo Jarari and Harlan Arrett. Apologies if I butcher the name there. And
son of a bitch has done it.
It was good.
Didn't I say? I said this at Dynasty. This is a good idea. But I thought it should have happened weeks ago. And I thought it was too late. Son of a bitch has done it. He has turned it around and has made this work from the brink of not working. I think he's making it work.
I think being in Canada helps.
Yeah.
And I think that Jericho playing up this over-the-top baby face, even though he's a douchebag.
Giving the thumbs up. And now Big Bill is doing it as well, like just constantly giving the thumbs up and stuff. And so obviously they just win. Story of the match is Big Bill has the match won. He does all of the work. Actually, like the two enhancement guys almost out wrestle Jericho, so he tags out to Big Bill. Big Bill destroys them, and then he tags in Jericho, who just hits one move and gets the win. And Big Bill is learning from Chris Jericho. It's good, you know, usual heel shtick and stuff. But Jericho grabs the microphone. He's like, "It's great to be back here in Calgary, Albert, like Edmonton," and he like proper like messed up. It's like, "Look, Chip, sorry." Sorry, I'm on the road a lot. Like, we just travel the world. I'm always going around seeing amazing places. You're all amazing. And everyone out there is amazing. Oh, we're having such a good time. Did you see the match I had last week? It was the highest rated match on Cage Match.
Yes.
He then said, he's like, "I know what you're all thinking. I'm back on Dynamite again. Of course I am. I'd be here all the time if I could. I'd be on all 2 hours of the shows if I could. And you know I would." Leaning into the fact, the same stuff that you and I have been saying. Why is he on TV every week? Leaning into it and doing a really, really good job of leaning into it. I think it's working.
It is. And I thought, because I think we were both sold on the idea of this, but we're just like, look, people are just done with Jericho. Nothing's going to work until he has a break. And
son of a bitch,
it's working. What I really like about it as well is usually with these acts, say Big Bill as the big heel character who actually does the wrestling, there's tend to be mean and they're quite stoic, and then Jericho would heel and goof it up around them. But Big Bill is almost over the top happy as well.
Because he's learning from Jericho. Because it's Jericho's rest style. It's what he was doing at Dynasty in the hook match. It's why I was so baffled by people not getting what Jericho was doing. People were like, why is he resting as a baby face? Like, because that's what he's doing. It's like, he's constantly giving the thumbs up. He's doing the 10 punch spot. And now he's now convinced Big Bill, this is what you need to do to get over. For the world, for the FTW Championship. I thought Taz was awesome on last week's show, by the way. Going nuts over how much Jericho was sullying the name FTW. That was so good.
It's more in line with the KO Jericho goofiness than other things. So, if that's an indication, we'll enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
And Shivani interrupted Jericho saying, "Hook is returning next week."
And Jericho's like, "Great! I love that guy. We all love Hook, right? I'll see him next week."
The main event that wasn't the main event was Adam Copeland defending his TNT title against Brody King in a no DQ match. It was great.
Awesome match. It's ruled.
Brody's on top early. He charged at Edge on the chair in the barricade, but Edge moved. Edge gets the chair. He keeps hitting Brody, telling this story of, oh, Copeland's a bit ruthless, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like that rated R sort of viciousness to him.
Yeah, that moment where he got the chair and he kicked out the leg support so he could use that as which is what he was doing during like the Roman feud and stuff.
Hit an Impaler DDT on King on the apron, and King, I presume, rolls under the apron and blades. comes up, just like there's bleeding from the forehead, and then there is having an actual red mask the all over your mask. Face.
That's what I kind of love about blood in pro wrestling, these sort of moments. Because when Brody King gets up, you just hear this collective gasp from the audience by like how much, like, the big guy's bleeding.
And Brody's just smiling as well.
Because this is what the House of Black wants. Mm. It's like last week with Buddy Matthews being like, do it.
The canvas was just covered and smeared in blood.
Yeah.
It's quite a sight.
And Copeland was wearing white as well. He was wearing those white tights. So all the blood got smeared on those as well.
And they really delivered. You know, when you hear no DQ match, yeah, we got the blood. But we also get the Edge spear off the apron through a table outside spot.
Rad. Mm. So good.
And then he hits another spear in the ring to win. But he wins. He sits up and Brody's like straight up as well. Like that spear only disabled him for about 5 seconds.
Well, he sort of kicked out at three. He did the thing of like the shoulder moves. The Bobby Fish kick out of of the GTS.
And he just starts beating up Copeland. Carl O'Reilly runs down for the save. He'd said he'd back him up last week. And really that was for Carl to later ask in the overrun for a match for the TNT title in his hometown this Saturday.
Odd line from Copeland in this backstage promo, though, because he was like, man, it's nice to have some backup against the House of Black. What was your match at Dynasty, Adam? Oh, I think it was you wrestling with backup against the House of Black. Yeah.
Then we got a Mercedes promo where she said, I'm 18 days away from my in-ring debut and I am ready.
This was a better Mercedes promo.
Yeah. And that's it. That's the episode. We talked about the main, the Bucks thing already.
I thought 8 minutes of overrun. I thought they used those 8 minutes very well. You had the end of the Copeland Brody King match with the angle with Kyle O'Reilly. You had the Mercedes promo. You set up a match for Collision, and then you had your big promo with the end to set up the return of Bryan Danielson and promote a big match at the pay per view. A very, very good use of your 8 minute overrun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thought it was a good episode. I gave it 73%. The sort of feeling has been lost a bit for me in the last month after the.
So do you mean like momentum?
Yeah, the momentum feeling. I mean, AEW haven't had much momentum this year anyway, I would say.
I disagree on that because I thought it was only not that long ago we were saying like, oh, this is the feeling is back. And I think they were on a run of really, really good shows. And then I think the Punk stuff sort of then kind of derailed them for a few weeks. And now they're sort of picking those pieces back up again.
I would say in my head, I sort of meant there's a difference between feeling and momentum. Like momentum would be increasing ratings, whereas feeling is like, yeah, like these are good shows. I do agree. Like up until the punk got in their heads, I think it's the best run they've been on in quite a long time.
And the ticket sales aren't as bad as they once were. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't that long ago. It was like mid last year when they first launched Collision, where like a show in Canada was selling like 300 tickets or so. So like 4,000 tickets for this show. They're in like 300 off for being a sellout. And they had good ticket sales last week. It feels like they're getting a bit of momentum. And all they need is like these TV rights things to come through and they're off to the races.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the live event sales are a promising indicator. I gave it 73%.
Yeah, I thought this was like a 3 out of 5show, but a very, very good main event angle. But yeah, overall, it was a 3 out of 5 show.
Before we get on with our remaining Omega chats, let's say a very big thank you to our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon. The Magic Man, Barry Blaine.
The Cleaner, Kenny Shaw.
Nathan, the Street Racing Prophet, Ford.
The British Bulldog, Philip Boy J. Smith Jr.
He can last Sean Fur longer than you in the ring.
Starbucks Stephen Costa.
Shield Maiden, the Zornies.
Burly Rob Burwell.
He ran, Aaron Hanrahan.
He brings the fear, Amir Jones.
Apocalypse Now.
And lastly, for this Hall of Fame class, on the 9th of May 2023, Andrew Gifford, the big red dog. You see, the Dynamite Kid's kid is on Collision.
Really? This Saturday?
Yeah, it's facing Dax Harwood.
What?
Yeah, let me double check.
Let me double check this. Twitter.
Dynamite Kid.
Tony Khan. Because I think it was TK that put it out. Yeah, they announced Brian and Claudio versus Top Flight. And yeah, Tommy Billington versus Dax Harwood.
Huh? Wow.
And as you know, a few people have pointed out, why isn't he wrestling on Dynamite?
The Collision Kid.
Yeah.
Well, let's go through our remaining Omega chats.
Did I say 2023? Sorry, Brian, it's 2024.
Jem Beard, 29-month member. Appreciate the guy Soraya pointed out. Also made... Oh, sorry, apparently... The guy Soraya pointed out also made vulgar comments about Sky Blue during Ring of Honor.
Oh, it was that same guy. Yeah, because Soraya basically like said, look at these perverts over here. Like, I think it was during the commercial break.
Anonymous, howdy fellas. Allow me to fantasy book for a moment. Do you think there is a possibility we get Ospreay versus Okada all in this year to allow Will to unify the two mid-card belts? Or is Omega versus Okada 5 a better option?
I thought if I that was my big pitch. If Omega's fine, which I don't think he will be, then I would do Omega versus Okada 5 at Wembley. Will, I don't think they're going to unify these two mid-card belts either, because they've already announced that the Continental Classic, the Continental Crown holder, will defend that title within this year's C2. So I don't think they're going to unify those belts.
Space Viking says, I just hope Nana makes a return soon and isn't also taken out of Swerve's act. Probably isn't, but I'm just saying because I still think removing Reba from Brit's group kind of hurt the group. It's not fun when faces lose what was working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Prince Nana can still work in that babyface act.
Totally, yeah.
James Zimmerman says, howdy, y'all. I hate to ask a raw question, but it does connect to the Young Bucks story. Ollie and Luke, what do you think about CM Punk's promo on Raw? For me, it was a bit lame. Jake the Snake WrestleMania 6 promo, greater than Pipe Bomb and Maths. Watch it, you cowards. Hashtag World Peace. Well, it went on a while for me.
Yeah. No, I think I would agree with that. Yeah. I thought it was good. I know everyone's kind of focused on the choke artist line. It was totally fine. There's another one here from The Beast who said, do you think Hangman and Kota would have been better partners for FTR than Danielson and Kingston?
I want Paige to stay a heel.
Yeah, me too.
With the Elite, please.
And as a correction for me as well, it's Dynamite Kid's nephew.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. So that's better. Nathan Reese says, not related to Dynamite, but I graduate from college in about 2 hours.
Hey!
Let's get some cheap pops for Nathan in the comments. With the start lining up with COVID, WrestleTalk and AEW helped me through the last few years and have been an amazing outlet. I got into AEW because of WrestleTalk. My fave wrestler has been Mox for years, but Ollie covering him winning the title plus COVID made me deeply invested in AEW. But also through Quizzlemania's No Rolls Barred, more No Rolls Barred please, and so many other great series. Thank you. Jam That Jam. FTF. Support EO.
FTF. Yeah. It's a lovely callback. But thank you so much, and congratulations as well. So yeah, give them some cheap pops in the chat there.
Do some emojis of the graduation hats.
Is there a graduation hat
There's
emoji?
There's got to be.
Surely.
Mayor of Painesville, Dan.
Hey!
It's his birthday today.
Is it really?
What a day for... Dan, I got that on my to-do list reminder thing. I was going to send you a message, but you beat me to it. Hello, Luke. Hello, Ollie. Hope you are doing well. A day removed from emergency surgery.
What?
And also that I'm celebrating my 30th birthday today can't stop me from chatting to ask, when is Dustin getting his rematch against Swerve? He was screwed last time.
That happened at World's End. Because he beat him at World's End. Swerve
Yeah, in the sort of Keith Lee match thing. When is Dustin getting his rematch?
And he goes to WWE.
Yeah.
Oh, man, emergency surgery, though. I hope you're all right.
And happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday as well. Look, they're right there. There is a graduation hat emoji.
Graduation hat emojis. The Beast says, you guys are awesome and one of my favorite channels to watch. Luke is my favorite.
Hey, that's nice of you to say.
Thank you very much. And Rob Grieg is a brand new member.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We have done it without the overrun. Thank you very much for watching. Go over to WrestleTalk to watch the WrestleTalk news episode from earlier today. Triple H said he's sorry.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah. And
privately, the big coward.
And go over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk to watch loads of exclusive Patreon content from us and also to give a shout out on this very show. But for now, I've been Ollie Davis. This has been Luke Owen, DAD. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam. It was 75% thumbs up and 19% in the middle. Bye, everyone. Jam that jam.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.